Welcome everyone to VIREX Corporate Data Warehouse Cyber Seminar entitled CDW, A Conceptual Overview. Thank you to CIDR for providing the technical and promotional support for this series. Today's speaker is Margaret Gonsolin. Dr. Gonsolin is a sociologist who studied at the University of Virginia and taught for 8.5 years in the California State University system before joining us here at VIREX, the VA Information Resource Center. Her work at the VA has primarily focused on the corporate data warehouse. If you have any questions to Margaret during the presentation, please send them in using the chat box. I will present them to her at the end of the session. After the Q&A, you will see a brief questionnaire. If possible, please stay until the very end and take a few moments to complete it. And now I'm pleased to welcome today's speaker, Dr. Margaret Gonsolin.
Thank you, Heidi. Thank you, Hira. And thanks, everyone, for joining us today. As you know, we'll be discussing CDW, but on a conceptual level. Before I begin, I would like to thank Richard, Heidi, Hira, Chandrea, and Durrani for all their help with this cyber seminar and, of course, with past work related to CDW. To start, I'd like to ask the audience if you wouldn't mind please telling me a little bit about yourself and your level of experience with CDW. Would you describe your level of experience on a scale from 1 to 5, where 1 is not having worked with it at all, and 5 is very experienced with CDW? And I'll turn it over to Heidi.
Great. Thank you, Margaret. Responses are coming in nicely. We'll give everyone just a few more moments to fill that out before we close the poll question. It looks like things have actually slowed down, so we will close that out and go through the results. We are seeing 40% saying they have not worked with it at all, 35% rating a 2, 19% rating a 3, 4% saying 4, and 3% saying they are very experienced with CDW data. Thank you, everyone, for participating.
Thank you, everyone. Yes, as you know from the advertisement, this talk is primarily for beginners, so the majority of the audience, this talk should be directed at you. And thank you very much, leading to conversations about what information is in the CDW, how that information or data get organized, and how it compares to other common VA data sources. And then we'll move into a discussion about the terminology and concepts related to relational databases in general. And in the third section of the talk, we will talk about the components of the corporate data warehouse in particular, and this will include discussions of production and raw domains, fact and dimension tables or views, and we'll get into detail about that. And lastly, we'll turn our discussion to, on a theoretical level, how do we take a relational database such as the one found in CDW and get to an analytic set such as the one people tend to use to answer their research questions. In order to conceive of how this gets done, we'll be discussing the concepts of primary and foreign keys and the overall process of joining tables in a relational database. So let's get started with the acronyms. Oftentimes, when you're looking at documentation related to CDW, you will actually see this little phrase, XDW. That X is a variable that's waiting to be filled in with either a V for VISN, an R for region, or a C for corporate, which means national in this case. Why is that the case? That's the case because each level of the organization in the VHA actually has its own data warehouse with data being kept on its own local population. And then we have the corporate or national data warehouse for the VHA overall. So our talk today, as the title infers, will refer mostly to the corporate data warehouse, or CDW. So one of the first things to understand about this is, how do the data get into the corporate data warehouse? And if you'll excuse my oversimplification here, the basic idea is that we start out in the VHA collecting data at about 130 Vista systems, and information, not all of it, but a big selection of this information in these Vista systems, which, just in case you're not familiar, Vista stands for Veterans Health Information Systems and Technology Architecture. It's where the data are stored for the electronic health record and administrative data. These 130 Vista systems are moved into the regional data warehouses, and then from the regional data warehouses, it goes out to the corporate data warehouse and the VISN data warehouse. So in a simple way, this is how the data are arriving into the corporate data warehouse. So why do we keep repeating this phrase, data warehouse, and what exactly does this mean? Well, in a general way, a data warehouse is a data delivery system. It's intended to give users information that they need to support their business decisions. So with a data warehouse, people tend to ask a question such as, how many patients were seen in outpatient clinics today? And then you could go into that warehouse and come out with the number. And that would support your business decision about capacity issues or something like that. If we think in more simple terms, we could say that a data warehouse is really just this large storage facility that holds a whole bunch of data and maybe even, quote, big data. So in the VHA, what kind of data are we storing in our corporate data warehouse? And again, this drawing is an oversimplification, but I think it brings the point home. If we look at the red boxes to the left-hand side of the image, we can see that data that are derived in various offices across the VA are actually now being housed or stored in the corporate data warehouse, such as the managerial cost accounting data, or DSS data, the CARA assessment need or CAN scores, the HERC data, the Health Economics Resource Center data, and more. And also, as we just discussed, information from our Vista systems, our electronic health record, our administrative data that gets stored in our Vista systems is also making its way into the corporate data warehouse. So we have a variety of data that is finding a home in our data warehouse. So once it starts to make its way into the corporate data warehouse, there are questions about, how is it being organized? What does it look like in there? So in an overall sense, and we'll go into more detail as the seminar progresses, but in an overall sense, it's organized by subject, such as allergy information, inpatient information, a PCMM stands for primary care, and then these all of these pieces of information, all of these subject matter areas are also connected with joining keys that are built into that data warehouse so that you can bring information from various areas all together for your question or query or your study. So that's the basic idea, and as I said, we will return to this concept over and over throughout today's seminar. Another main question that people have when they're first approaching the corporate data warehouse has to do with the way that it fits into the VA data that people have been working with for years and years. I know, once again, if you'll forgive this sort of oversimplified picture, on a conceptual level, we might think about something like the MedSAS outpatient data that people have long been familiar with in the VA, and think about how it will eventually compare to CDW. So So if we start by looking at the green arrows and the green boxes to the top right-hand side of the image, we can see that in order to build NPCD, or the National Patient Care Database, national data systems would pull selected information or fields out of Vista. They would apply a variety of logic and filters and so forth to build that National Patient Care Database. And then from the National Patient Care Database, as I understand it, they would build the MedSAS outpatient data. Now, if we follow down to the bottom of the screen and look at the purple arrow and purple box, we can see what the CDW on the conceptual level has been doing. They have also been going into the Vista systems and selecting certain fields for inclusion. And they are selecting a lot more fields for inclusion than NPCD selected. They're not particularly changing it. The point is to accurately reflect what is seen in Vista, so there's no real significant logic or filtering per se to change the content, but they are organizing it into the tables and domains and building the linking keys and things like that. So how would you figure out if the variable you often used in the MedSAS outpatient data had an equivalent column in CDW? Well, first, you would want to find the Vista source that MedSAS variable came from. And you would also want to know if any logic or filtering was done to it. And then from there, once you had identified the Vista field of interest, you could look to see whether or not that Vista field was actually brought into the corporate data warehouse. And in that way, you could see how a common data set, such as MedSAS outpatient data, compared to what you're finding in the corporate data warehouse. So now I'll move to the second topic, thinking about the kinds of terms related to relational data sets and databases. So ultimately, we've consistently been saying throughout this talk that this is a relational database or a data warehouse. So what does a relational format look like, and what does it mean to people? How is it different than the kinds of data we typically would deal with in a research setting? Well, let's start with this, although I know this is vague. In ordinary terms, what a relational database is data that has been separated out into multiple tables. Each one of these tables is a spreadsheet of sorts with columns across the top that would be the equivalent of what people in research would refer to as a variable, and rows or records of data inside of them. In addition, there are those linking keys that I mentioned earlier that are added into these tables by the architects of the data warehouse. And that is to allow us, the end users, to reassemble these tables and pull pieces of information together that we want to use simultaneously to analyze something. SQL, or Structured Query Language, or SQL, whatever you prefer, is a programming, not the only one, but a programming language that can be used to reassemble these tables in a relational database. Okay, so let's start with a simple example to try and illustrate what we mean by a relational database. So right here, what you're looking at is a typical database that might be used in research in a SAS format or SPSS or R, whatever you use. And so what you see is that each patient has a single record or row in the database. But overall, if we take a look at this flat file, we can see that there are three basic kinds of information. The first kind is information about the patient, such as their name and address. The second type of information is the diagnosis associated with their visit, and that comes in the form of the column ICD. And then the third type of information is about the visit itself, where it occurred, the station, and when, the date. So if we wanted to take this flat file and transform it into a relational file, what we would do is break it into the three tables having to do with each subject. So now we have a patient table containing the patient information, name and address. We have a diagnosis table containing the list of ICD-9 codes, and we have a visit table containing where and when the visit happened. We'll keep returning to this simple example as we proceed. But before we step into the second half of the lecture, I just want to ask one more question about you. What is your role in VA research? Would you describe yourself more as a research investigator / PI, data manager or analyst, program coordinator, or some other role? And I'll turn it over to Heidi.
Thank you. And this is an option that you can select multiple options here. And I did include a non-VA because we do sometimes have non-VA people come to these sessions.
Thank you.
If you are another, feel free to type into the question box what your other role is, and we can read through those. Responses are coming nicely, but they are slowing down just a bit, so I'll give it just a few more seconds before I close the poll question out. And I'm going to go ahead and close that. And the results we're seeing are 16% research investigator or PI, 48% data manager or analyst, 17% project coordinator, 32% other, 2% non-VA, and for the other, we are seeing system redesign, ADPAC, not research but informatics, and education developing a data analytics course. Thank you, everyone, for participating.
Yes, thank you very much, and welcome, everyone. So I'm going to move into the third part of the talk today, which is about the components of the corporate data warehouse, and that will include discussions of production and raw domains, fact versus dimension tables. Is that these are domains or areas of data stored in the data warehouse that have been modeled or architected, if you will, to make them easier to use. So they tend to have all the linking keys built in. They are more organized for use by the end user. And also in the CDW, this means that they are updated on a daily basis. The raw domains have quite a different feel in the corporate data warehouse. They have much less modeling done on them. They are not as architected. They are more directly related to the Vista sources that they came from. And they are not updated on a daily basis necessarily. Each one of the raw domains of data in the corporate data warehouse has its own schedule of updates. And so you would want to look to the list and find out exactly how often that particular domain is being updated at the present time. So what are we really referring to when we're using these domains? This term domain. In general, a domain is a group of tables that are put together because they are about the same subject matter. So some quick examples make it quite clear. So here are some examples of production domains, and they include outpatient, the outpatient 2.1 domain containing a whole bunch of information about outpatient visits. There's lab microbiology doing the same for those tests that come from microbiology labs. mental health is holding mental health assessments, and so on and so forth. And so each one of these is a domain as defined by the subject matter of the tables found within them. The same thing happens for law domains. We can see some examples of those listed here, intravenous meds, oncology, prosthetics, and so forth. So another key set of terms that you will hear, and at first these terms can seem a little bit confusing, are the use of the words tables versus views. So what do we mean by table in the CDW? In general, a table is what you would expect, a set of columns and rows that contain data elements. And the image that you see here at the bottom of the slide is an example of a part of a table from CDW's patient file containing, you know, state, county, country, period of service, and so forth. And what it is literally a spreadsheet or table of information. So what is a view? A view is the result of a procedure that pulls information out of that database or table and puts it in a virtual table. So in a kind of simple term, you could say that a view is a virtual look at a table. But ultimately, to us, the end users, we really never see tables because tables are actually holding the real information. We are always working with a virtual picture of a table. It doesn't look or feel any different, so the image that you see here at the bottom of the screen could be a view or it could be a table, and it doesn't feel any different to me as an end user. So ultimately, it's just important to realize that when you are given access to work with the corporate data warehouse, you will be given access to work with views, and you can just be comfortable knowing that it will look and feel like any other table you've ever seen or any other spreadsheet you've ever seen. So once you get in there and you start looking at these tables or views, you'll find that there's more than one kind of table. The first kind of table we'll talk about today is called a dimension table. And in general, these are described as quote-unquote supporting tables. Each one of these dimension tables holds a specific type of information that is meant to be accessed over and over again by other tables usually. In the CDW, some just important points to remember about dimension tables is that generally speaking, they don't contain any patient information, which means that they can be viewed with some basic read access requested through national data systems, and they are relatively small in size and pretty easy to use because of that smallness. Now, the second type of table that you'll find in the corporate data warehouse and in all relational databases is the fact table. These tables hold measurements, if you will. They tend to be very large, into the billions, maybe even more by now, of records in a single table. The especially large ones tend to be things like labs and pharmacy, encounters and visits. They also have, in the corporate data warehouse, patient and staff identifiers in them. So what does this mean to the end user? Typically, this means that you would have to request permission to view these tables, and permissions to view these tables are a bit more strictly controlled because of those patient and staff identifiers. And also, when you go to use them, it's important to realize that you wouldn't want to always try to use the table in its entirety, that you would want to think about what part of the table do you need, what group, what cohort, what years, all these sorts of questions, so that you don't have such an enormous table that you can't get any of your analyses to run against it. So if we return now to our simple example, start to think about whether our three tables are fact tables or dimension tables, we can see, beginning with the patient table, that it's been declared here a fact table. And the reason for that is because it contains facts such as names and addresses having to do with the patient. Therefore, overall, it's a fact table. If we move to the diagnosis table, we can see that really it's just a list of the ICD-9 codes, and ultimately, each time someone would come for a visit, we would go through the list, find the right one, and grab the right code. So it's a dimension table supporting the visits table, and it's meant to be accessed repeatedly. And finally, with the visits table, we can see that it contains facts about the visit having to do with the place, the station, and the date. And therefore, it is a fact table. And as I mentioned, we'll keep coming back to this example. So how do we take that sort of general, simple example and understand it in the more complex corporate data warehouse? Well, actually, this one's quite easy. We would just look at the name of the table in the corporate data warehouse, and we would be able to easily tell whether or not that table was a fact table or a dimension table. So if we look at the examples of fact tables that we see there on the left, you can see that the schema or prefix in the name of the table itself is reflective of the domain that it came from. So dental dot is the schema from a dental domain table, and it's indicating that it belongs to a fact table. CPRS orders, that schema is going to reflect the name of the orders domain, and it is a fact table because of that, immune, patient, and so forth. And if you look to the right, you can see that you can always quickly tell when a table is a dimension table because every single one of them shares the same prefix or schema, dim dot, the name of the table. So if we put this in a little bit more context by taking the health factors 2.1 domain as our example, we can see that this domain contains one fact table called HF health factor and one dimension table called dim dot health factor types. We can look at the content for confirmation of our definitions of fact tables and dimension tables. So the first one we'll examine here is our fact table, HF.HealthFactor, and we'll look at some of its content. And we can see right away when we look in its content that it has patient identifiers and staff identifiers, which is what we would expect for a fact table in CDW. And then we get some descriptions of the health factor for that patient, and we know which doctor it was that recorded that health factor from that staff identifier, and then we would see any comments that were made about it. If we compare this to the content found in the dimension table, we can see a list of the health factors as a factor or a category. We can see whether or not it's gender specific. We can see the text that describes that health factor in words. And this is meant to be repeatedly accessed over and over again each time a health factor is recorded in the fact table for a patient. Now we'll turn our attention to the final topic in today's seminar, and that is a conceptual look at how you would go from this relational database in CDW to the analytic file that you might typically use to do some sort of analysis on your cohort or group of interest. So first, let's discuss the joining keys that help us bring information from the various tables in the warehouse back together again. One type of joining key is called a primary key, and this is a column that it will exist in every table. and it will uniquely identify each row in that table. There's a second kind of joining key in all relational databases, and that's called the foreign key. These are columns that exist in a table, and it can be more than one of them, and they correspond to or reference a primary key from another table. So just for future reference, the values of these foreign keys repeat, and the names of these foreign keys may be different than the names of their matching primary keys, although often they actually share the same name, so you can easily see they're supposed to match, but sometimes they don't. Okay, so going back to the simple example with our patient diagnosis and visits table, we'll take the first table for patients and look at the first column now, and it is called patient key, and afterwards you see in parentheses PK, indicating it's a primary key. And what this key will do, as all primary keys will do, is uniquely identify each patient in the table. So each patient will get their own unique number. If we go to the diagnosis table, we can see the same pattern. The first column is a primary key, and each diagnosis code is given its own unique number identifying it. The same pattern repeats in the visits table. The first column, visit key, is a primary key uniquely identifying each visit. If we move to the second column of the visits table, we see our first example of a foreign key. That's what the FK in the parentheses refers to. And this is a foreign key that is going to connect our visits table to our diagnosis table. So if we look at the first row of our foreign key in our visits table, it has a value of 1, and that means that a diagnosis code of 110.6 was assigned for this visit. If we move to the third column in the visits table, called the patient key, we see that it is also a foreign key, and it is a foreign key that will connect our visits table to the correct patient. So if we look at the first row in the patient key foreign column, we see a value of 1. So we know that Mariana Jones was the 14. So how do we apply this to the more complex environment that we will see in the corporate data warehouse? Taking this example here from the pharmacy patient domain, we are looking at what is referred to as an entity relationship diagram or an ER diagram. Each one of these boxes represents a table found in the pharmacy patient domain. And you can easily see that we have patient.pharmacypatient, a fact table, and then a dimension table called dim.pharmacypatientstatus, and then another fact table, patient.pharmacypatientscripttalk. Now, the little dotted lines will tell us that we should be able to find a connection between our main fact table, patient.pharmacypatient, and our dimension table. But we'll look further and in more detail here in just a second. You will also note that in these tables, the very first column listed has PK after them for every single one of our tables, and that stands for primary key. And you will also notice that all of our primary keys end with the three letters SID, as do all linking keys in the CDW. So let's take a quick example of how these two are connecting. If you follow the green lines, you can see that the foreign key in the fact table connects to the primary key in the dimension table, and they have the same name in this case. And that's how we would know how to read this ER diagram and connect these two tables. I'm going to continue on to some more examples. Let's take a look at examples from the patient domain. And we're going to look at multiple connections between the tables that we're seeing here. So if we follow the yellow lines first, we can see that the patient.patient table is connecting to another fact table called patient sub.military sexual trauma on the key patient SID, which is a foreign key in the PAT sub table and a primary key in the patient.patient table. We can also see, if we follow the green lines, the connection between the dimension table about race and the fact table patient.patient, and we see that it connects on the linking key called race SID. And we see that same pattern following the purple lines between dim.country and patient.patient. In our next example, I want to point out how you might use these ER diagrams to quickly think about not only connections within a domain, but potential connections to other domains. So the red lines represent the connections between the two tables found in the health factors domain. So that's a within domain connection. But if you follow the green line, you can see patient.sid is a foreign key inside the health factors table. And it likely connects out to the patient tables in the patient domain. If we scroll down and look at the purple lines, we can see a field called encounter staff SID, which is the foreign key. And it connects out to the staff domain and staff tables. But when you want to connect multiple domains, you would probably want to look elsewhere for information about those connections so that you could be sure of exactly what to connect to. So there's another method of looking up these linking keys. And you would want to start in the metadata on the CDW SharePoint site. And I've put the URL here at the bottom of this screen for future reference. Once you've clicked on either one of those metadata links from the main page, you'll arrive at this page. And you'll want to click Execute the Metadata Report, this little link here that you see in the brown circle. Once you do that, you will arrive at the CDW Metadata Report. And the list that you see here to the left is a list of the domains. Then you'll want to find the appropriate domain for your purposes at that time. So today we're going to use the example of Health Factors 2.1 to look up linking keys. And so once you had scrolled down to your domain of choice, you would want to click on the little plus sign just to the left of the domain name, and it will open up the list of tables that you see here. We know that it only has two tables in it. And you would then have to look to the far right-hand side of the screen at the relationships column, and then you would want to click the relationships for whichever table you were interested in. Today, I'm going to click the one related to the fact table in the health factors domain. And it will open up a table that looks like this. So how do we read this table? First off, if you look at the names in the light blue column across the top, you will see that everything to the left-hand side of the table begins with the two letters FK for foreign key. And everything on the right-hand side of the table begins with the two letters PK for primary key. So we've got our foreign key information on the left and our primary key information on the right. And so we'll be able to read it like this. I'm reading across the row that you see in the circle. The table on the first row that has the foreign key in it called Health Factors. It's HF Health Factors. And the foreign key that you will find in that table is called Encounter Staff SID. And then if you look more to the right, skipping the view version, you will see that the table it's going to connect to that has the primary key is called staff.staff, and the primary key that is a match will be called staff.sid. So ultimately what this is saying is that the foreign key in calendar staff.sid and HF health factors connects to the primary key staff.sid and staff.staff. Let's look at one more example. Okay, here, let's read this row. What it is telling us is that the foreign key called patient SID found in HF health factors connects to the primary key called patient SID in patient.patient. So, to summarize where we've gone today in this cyber seminar, the CDW contains a large variety of data, HART data, BFS data, VISTA data, administrative data, electronic health record data, allergy data, you know, whatever way you want to divide it up. Currently, the majority of these data are coming from VISTA. It is broken into a lot of different domains that contain a whole bunch of fact tables and dimension tables. And in the end, the end user, if they wanted to do analysis, would want to bring back these tables, bits and pieces that they're interested in, and create an analytic set. And in order to do that, they would be using those linking keys and some basic SQL to arrive at that data set. So now I'd be happy to take any questions that you may have.
All right. Thank you, Margaret. We do have a lot of questions from the audience, so I'll just get right to it. Okay. So if the information in VISTA is incorrect, does that mean the information in XDW is incorrect as well?
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm not really sure what would be meant by incorrect, but I think the goal, as I've heard it articulated many times, is that CDW attempts to accurately reflect what is in VISTA. And if I have any, you know, I'm sure that this is a better question for data quality, but I would think that the goal of CDW, as I've heard over and over again, is to just be accurate about reflecting what is in VISTA. If, you know, that was in error in some way, I would assume it would arrive in CDW in the manner in which it is found in VISTA regardless.
Okay, thank you. Is there a document that provides all primary foreign keys to all related tables?
No, there isn't, that I am aware of anyway. You can search within the, and I'm not sure what all servers the person who's asking has access to, but in CDW work, I would imagine that you could run a query. This is not really a document. This is a view inside CDW work called, if I'm recalling correctly, meta.foreignkeyview or view.foreignkey or dwforeignkey, I think it is. And inside that, you could run a query to look at all the linking keys, I would suppose. So I think you could run your own table from that, but that, and you feel free to email me, and I could just sort of send you the steps to where to find that, given what kind of access you have, and I could send you the query if you wanted to just go in there and work with the metadata view rather than the report, because the reports that are available right now do break it down to the table level.
Okay. Can you? What is the data integration schedule between VISTA and CDW?
I'm going to take a leap here and assume that that integration, the word integration, it means that how often it's updated, but that may not be what the person is using it for, so please feel free to clarify.
Yes, that is what he's referring to.
Oh, okay, great. So the data that are in the production domains are updated each day, so every day. And then the data that are in the raw domains are updated on a variety of schedules. And if you can still see the screen, I can sort of show you online, if I can get my view to look right here, where you would go to look that up. That's what I'm trying to show you. So I gave you the URL inside the slide set for this page here, which is the Corporate Data Warehouse SharePoint site. And you would go to the link at the top menu for community, and then select CDW Raw. And then inside here, you can see each one of the raw domains, such as the one that you're looking at the moment, beneficiary travel, is updated on a biweekly basis. And then the next one, bill claims, is updated quarterly. So each one has its own schedule.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Can you explain what is a drop table?
No, I'm sorry. I don't.
Okay.
I'm not.
Mm-hmm. All right. Is there a procedure to request, write, modify access to a certain group of CDW tables?
To modify the CDW, a request process. I would think it might be best for that person to email us at virec@va.gov, and then I will ask around at people with more expertise in access issues and things like that.
I think, can a view be saved for future use?
Well, I'm not sure what all the rules are, and I'm not sure that they are exactly the same for different server environments and for operations versus research. And I don't necessarily think it's encouraged. I think people are encouraged to work on temporary tables. I'm not sure if working on the operation server is the same as working on research servers. So again, I think that it probably comes down to exactly what kind of work the person is doing, what kinds of permissions they already have, and once again, probably needs someone with more access and permissions and technical expertise, maybe from the OINT side, or we could probably connect them to the right person if they sent us an email about that too. So virec@va.gov, sorry.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, this next question. I recently tried to pull information from the CDW on immunizations refused by patients followed by my service line, and I discovered that the linking key was missing, and I could not link the dimension table to the immunization table, I think. What is the best way to request a fix?
Well, you can email us here at VIREC. We do have membership in lots of different committees that discuss these kinds of issues, and then we would connect you to, you know, people serving on those committees and try to get the word to the right right committee or right member and sort of field the question and get back to you or connect you to that person. that could fix that problem or could address the problem or help you find a workaround or,
okay.
you know, that sort of thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So do SID or IEM keys ever change once assigned?
IEN is an internal entry number provided at many different levels on many different things inside each Vista system. So I'm not sure if all the, if they're totally consistent. You know, that part I don't know. I would say what we would want to do probably is ask an architect about these keys and whether or not there's ever any, you know, a technical reason why they might have to change them, or, you know, because I can imagine that there could be scenarios that I would not be aware of that would cause a need for a change somehow or a correction or anything, but, yeah, I think we would need to confer with an architect of the CDW.
Okay, thank you. What is the best or easiest way to request CDW access?
It is to go to our, I'll bring you to the right page. Hang on. The VHA data portal is a great place to start. If I can find my correct link. And I would be happy to send this link out to anybody who wants it. But the VHA data portal, you would come here, and as you can see right across the top menu is an option for data access. And depending on whether you were wanting operations access or preparatory to research access or research access, you would click the appropriate button. So if you, for example, wanted research access, you would click there. And then as you come through this page, you can start to see your options by data source, knowing, you know, what kind of data you might need. So if you wanted CDW data, you could scroll down to CDW data, expand that, and then decide whether you need, you know, national or national vision and local, or for MedSAS or for VetsNet or for things in here, DSS is in here, Burls, and then you pick the appropriate DART request process, and it'll start leading you through. I recently did this for the first time just a couple of months ago, and I found the DART process was very clear. There are also some really great instructions on the Vinci website related to how to work your way through DART. And we have a great resource here in the form of Linda Koch, who also is really wonderful with helping people with access. So we would be able to help you too if you run into specific problems. But this process has become very streamlined, and I found it quite easy to use.
Margaret, I'm seeing a couple of requests here to share a link to the CDW.
To the CDW SharePoint site?
It just says the link to the CDW.
I'm happy to send a link to the SharePoint site for the CDW. That is already in the presentation itself. I don't think there's, you know, you have to ask National Data Systems through this DART process to have access to the CDW itself. And then you would be given permissions to a particular server at that point, and then you would log into that server and see the CDW itself, the data warehouse itself.
Okay. Are there plans for a CDW playground of sorts so we can practice on a sample environment?
I have heard people who were thinking about this, talking about this, but I don't know of any concrete plans for this, but I think that it is something that people, you know, people are thinking about. So we may see that or hear more about that at some point.
Mm-hmm. All right. Can you describe the relationship between a domain, a schema, and a view, please?
Sure. So the domain is a whole set of data. So if we went back here, I'm going to show, it's also easier if you show, okay. So we're here at the CDW SharePoint site. I'm working my way into the metadata report, as we saw in the talk. So the domain is the overall grouping of the tables. The schema is the reference to that grouping, and it's also the prefix in the name of the tables. And then the views are just a virtual table. So I'm sorry, this is loading up here a little. So the domain has many views in it, and each view has a schema that refers back to the overall meaning or grouping of the domain, if that makes it clear. So, like, for example, here, the domain is allergy. Everything in here will be related to reactants, allergies, that sort of thing. Each one of these listed under it is a view. The beginning of the name of that view or table is a prefix or a schema that refers back to the domain. Or if it's a dimension table, refers to the fact that it's a dimension table, but that's still its schema. Did that answer the question?
Yes. We only have a couple more minutes left, so maybe I can squeeze in one more question or two. Are you able to pull influenza data on inpatients yet? And if so, if not, will this be a possibility?
I'm sorry. I would require some inquiry, and I might be able to connect the person to people who have been working in this area. But I couldn't answer this one off the top of my head.
Okay. All right. Okay, I think that might be all the time we have for today. We just have a couple last minutes to wrap things up. Margaret, thank you so much for taking the time to present today's session. For everyone in the audience whose questions we didn't get to, I'm so sorry, but please contact the VIREC Help Desk at virec@va.gov if you still have questions or anything else you'd like to ask. Margaret is presenting another session next week on Tuesday, January 19th at this time. This session will focus on locating CDW documentation. We hope you can join us. Heidi will be posting the evaluation shortly. Please take a minute to answer those questions. Heidi, can I turn it over to you?
You certainly can. Thank you, Hera. For the audience, yes, we do have the second session in this series a week from today. I will be sending registration information out in just a few minutes. I know a lot of you are already registered, but if you are not, you should be seeing that in just a few minutes. When I close the meeting out, you will be prompted with a feedback form. Please take a few moments to fill that out. We really do appreciate all of your feedback. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for today's HSR&D Cyber Seminar, and we hope you look forward to seeing you at a future session. Thank you.